Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for all that you are and all that you've done, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, I just thank you for drawing men and women, boys and girls, into this edifice, dear Heavenly Father, where they could go any place else, Lord, but you brought them here today. And you brought them here with the anticipation of hearing the preached word, of hearing the songs of Zion, of being encouraged by one another. Lord, I just ask that you'll just continue to guide us and fulfill the mission of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And now, Lord, as I come to this portion of our service where we delve into the truths of your word, I just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that with all that's within me and with all that I have, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that souls might be saved and lives might be changed and saints encouraged in the truth. Please guide us this day. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 17. And we will be reading from the King James Bible. And we'll be reading verses 11 through 19. Verses 11 through 19. And it reads, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, let's talk about there's blessing in thanksgiving. There is a blessing in thanksgiving. When we come to this passage in the book of Luke, we come to our Savior as he's heading toward Jerusalem. And normally, the Jews would never go through Samaria. They'd go all the way around Samaria. There was a lot of racial strife, tribal strife, and it was a dangerous place to go. But it said that Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria and into Galilee. And there, in a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. And the Bible says that they stood afar off. When we see these 10 men who are lepers, in the scripture, leprosy is always depicted as a picture of sin. A picture of sin. When you see leprosy especially in the Old Testament and all through the New Testament, it's always a picture of sin. Leprosy back in those days, and by the way, leprosy still is around, but leprosy back then was an incurable disease. The doctors didn't have anything for you. If God healed you, you got healed. But other than that, you just kind of wasted away. And what would happen is they say that it was a painless disease. But your body contracted a bacteria that would go into your system and it would decay your body from the inside out. Now, when I was thinking about this, I thought about I thought about a music video, and I thought about the music video Thriller, Michael Jackson, Thriller. And you see those people walking behind him, and they're like the walking dead. Pieces of them falling off, looking like this and all disfigured. That's what happened to you when you had leprosy. Your body became totally disfigured, and the pieces would dry up, and to the point to where your extremities would literally fall off. Noses, ears, fingers, and ultimately, it would kill you. So during the scripture times, the Bible would always have the lepers, anybody who contracted leprosy, they had to live outside of the camp. They couldn't live with the community because they knew there was something about leprosy that when you were around these people who had leprosy, you could get leprosy from them. So they had to quarantine everybody with leprosy and put them outside of the camp. You know, that's kind of like what the Bible tells us to do with people who in the church, people who profess to be Jesus, belong to Jesus. And the Bible says if they profess to belong to Christ and they continue to live in sin, you know, the Bible says put them outside the camp. Put them outside the camp. But here's what I want y'all to see about these lepers. Talk about calling on the name of Jesus. These lepers, they stood afar off, and when they saw Jesus, they start calling on him. They start calling on him. They start saying, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Another symptom of leprosy, it affects your vocal cords. You can't hardly speak because they get affected. They get shut down. And so I can envision these 10 lepers kind of getting together and say, if we all shout together, maybe he'll hear us. Maybe he'll hear us. And they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Think about this. In Leviticus 13:45, give you a little bit more on leprosy. In Leviticus 13:45, it reads, this whole chapter is dealing with what you do and how to deal with leprosy. But just this one specific verse. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. I got an FYI for you as we work our way through this. The lepers had to always stay back and say, unclean, unclean. And I used to wonder, why would they tell them that they had to put a cloth over their mouth? Why back in biblical times, when nobody knew anything about bacteria, nobody knew anything about germs, at least nobody on the planet knew anything about bacteria, anything about germs, why would the Bible tell the leper to step back and say, unclean, unclean, and keep a rag, a cloth, over their mouth? Little FYI. Right around 1840, over in Europe, there was a man named Ignatz Semmelweis. Ignatz was a doctor. Ignatz was a doctor, and he worked in a maternity ward. It's 1840, y'all. Don't forget, lepers had to say unclean, unclean. Ignatz worked in a maternity ward. And he made a casual observation in the maternity ward. He noticed that when the midwives delivered the babies, more babies survived as opposed to when the doctors worked on the babies. The babies would be born perfectly healthy. And within a very short period of time, they contract a fever and they die. The mortality rate was ridiculous. But he noticed that it was more so with the doctors than it was with the midwives. But he also noticed that the midwives had better hygiene practices than the doctors. The doctors would go from one woman to the next woman to the next woman, not washing their hands, not wearing gloves, not changing their coats. And they were wondering, why are the babies dying? So Ignat said, I think there's a connection between you guys not washing your hands, because the women are more conscious of that. I think there's a connection, and maybe you ought to try washing your hands and changing your coats. Well, they told Ignat to shut up. We be doctors and we're practicing. You shut up, get out of here. In fact, they fired him. They fired him. So Ignat goes to another maternity ward, and he's working there, and he observes the same thing. And he says to him, why don't you wash your hands and change your coats? To which they said, okay, we'll try it. We'll see how it works. And lo and behold, it worked. But they still said, shut up, you're fired. And they kicked him out. They fired him. In fact, what history tells us is that in 1865, Ignat Zimmelweis died in an insane asylum. He went crazy, and he died in an insane asylum. And he died in 1865. Around 1870, guess what? The world discovered bacteria. The world discovered that if you wash your hands and change your clothes when you're operating on people, you won't be transmitting bacteria. Look what God told the Jews back in Leviticus. You got something that's transmitted through the air. When they come up on you, put the cloth up over your mouth and say, unclean, unclean, so you don't be transmitting bacteria. Isn't God good? Isn't God just amazing? You read things like that and you say, why would he tell them to come? Because they didn't know, but God knew. By the way, today they call it Hansen's disease. It's no longer as fatal like it was, if you can get it treated. But back then, it was fatal. Back to these 10 lepers. These 10 lepers, they saw Jesus and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw him, when he saw him, he didn't go over to him. It says when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. We have seen in Scripture where Jesus has placed his hands on people and healed them. We have seen in Scripture where Christ has spoken to people while he was over their sickbed and healed them. But here, we get to see where our Savior, just with his word, with the power of his word, he says, go and obey me, and you'll be healed. How many folks in the church don't receive a blessing, don't receive healing, don't receive all that God has in store for them, simply because, first and foremost, we will not humble ourselves and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus didn't know who these guys were, but there's no indication that they had any prior contact with each other. But when these men heard about him, and they came looking for him, and they humbled themselves, and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. 10 lepers. Why would they look for Jesus? Why don't they go looking for Buddha? Why don't they go looking for John, Bob, Joe? Because they heard something about this man. They heard that this man this man had something going for him. I don't know. They might even heard from some woman who said, you know what? He's got more medicine in the hem of his garment than all the doctors in town. I don't know what they heard, but they knew that if they called on the name of Jesus, if we as Christians could understand, if we would just call, not just once, not just twice, but continuously call on the name of Jesus. If we could just get to the point to where we stop leaning on our own understanding, because Lord knows we just get ourselves in mess after mess after mess because we want to lean on our own understanding. We don't want to say, Lord, have mercy on me. We want to say, Lord, I'm fitting to do this. Bless it. And that's how we roll. And we wonder why that leprosy, that sin, when you see the leprosy there, it's infested. It's all over their body. And it's just like sin. And it starts off so little. And then it just, when it's not dealt with, it just spreads. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But these men came, let me tell you, they came just like what the scripture says. The Bible says if you're going to come to Jesus, you got to come believing that he is who he says he is and that he's able to do that which he said he'd do. Well, preacher, I know back in the old Bible times, I know he did that then. But, you know, this is 2014. I mean, come on, we don't believe in magic anymore. We don't believe in voodoo anymore. And, you know, and yeah, I believe he's going to take me to heaven, but I'm not so sure this pain in my back, I'm just not so sure he can handle that one. I'm not, Lord, this job situation, you know, but it's really the economy's bad, so you shouldn't hope for a job. Economy's bad. Why don't you try calling on the Lord? Why don't you say, Lord, have mercy on me. What's important to you might not be important to anybody else. So what? These people, they're at the bottom of the societal heap. They can't even hang out with regular folk. They are the most loathsome of the most loathsome. They can't be in proper society. And they still said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And the Bible said that Jesus looked, he called to him. He didn't even go to him. He called to him. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go show yourself unto the priest. And it says that it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Why show yourself to the priest? Because the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, it tells you when you've been healed of leprosy, you're supposed to go to the priest and let the priest make an acknowledgement of it so that you can get put back into proper society. Wait a minute. But Jesus, you didn't do anything. You didn't say no magic words over me. I didn't get to scream, shout, spit, and jump over the pews. You just said, go. You said it's done. No flashing lights, no nothing. I ain't got to fall out on the floor. You said it's just done. Y'all listen. Sometimes you get those flashing lights. Sometimes you'll get that jumping. Sometimes if you just obey him, you'll get that healing. You'll get that blessing. He said, just go. In other words, what Jesus was saying to them, it's a done deal. He said, just go to the priest, show yourself to the priest so that the priest can make the acknowledgement so that you can be put back into proper society. But something strange happened along the way. As they were walking, like I said, there was no smoke and mirrors. There was no clapping of the hands. There was a change going on, a physiological change going on in their body. I'm going to give you a personal testimony. I worked construction, and there was a time when I got to the point to where my wrist hurt so bad, to pick up my tools hurt.
just hurt all the time, hurt.
And this brother from Oklahoma, we were on the job together that day. And we just happened to, because normally we're not on the job at the same time. Normally I work at night. Everybody else works in the day. But because I was hurting so bad, my job was dragging out. And I wasn't able to get done in time. And he's Christian brother, dear Christian brother. And we got to talk, and he said, Will, what's wrong? I said, man, can't use my hands. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I make a living with these hands. And if I can't use these hands, your boy is in deep trouble. And this brother came to me, and he said, do you mind if I pray for you? Whew, thinking back, I feel like one of them lepers. He said, do you mind if I pray for you? I said, man, go. You know, doctor's already shaking his head. He ain't telling me nothing other than bring some more money. And he took my hands and he bowed and he said, Lord, he said, my friend needs his hands. He's got a family to provide for. And if you would heal him, we would be ever so grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm like, I'm waiting for the... Come on. I heard you guys from Oklahoma can do some of that. Give one of them good Pentecostal prayers. Come on. That was it. He just prayed. I said, okay. And I went back to my table to go to work. And I started spreading glue. No lights, no whistles, no bells. And I'm working. I'm staying. And all of a sudden, I noticed the absence of pain. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Just like the lepers. It said they were walking. Jesus had already told him, go. Did he tell him, go? He said, go. What you standing around here for? It's done. Go. And it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. As they obeyed him, as they humbled themselves and came to him, as they obeyed him, they were cleansed. Brother, there's so many out here right now. There's folks here right now. If you just obey him, if you just don't lean on your own understanding, if you just humble yourself. When that brother said, do you want me to pray for you for your hands? What else could I do? I couldn't work. I couldn't do nothing. I'm here to tell you, you can't do nothing about your sin situation. You can't fix it. Stop trying to fix it. And humble yourself and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And he says, it's a done deal. Jesus has gone to the cross for you already. It's a done deal. And it says, and as they walked, they did this one great act of faith. One great act of faith. They obeyed him. Jesus says, the Bible says, obedience is better than sacrifice. I know you want the praise dance. I know you want to give a bunch of money so everybody think that you ain't sinning at all. I cover it up with my money that I give. I know you got all these things that you want to do instead of obey. But there's no way around it. It's a simple act of faith. Obedience is better than anything else you can do for our Savior. The other stuff is good. I mean, there's no harm. It's good. But oh, obedience is better than sacrifice. And it says, and as they all did the same act of faith. They all took off walking, heading toward the priest to go to show themselves to the priest just like Jesus told them to do. But then one of them was walking that way, and they said, ooh, I got to go back. I just got to go back. I got to go back
And then it says, with a loud voice. Remember, I told you the Bible. I told you when you have leprosy, it destroys your vocal cords. And all 10 of them raised up their voices and say, Jesus, have mercy on us. But look at here. Only one of them turned back and said, with a loud voice, he said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I know there's folks in here with me right now who've been healed of all kinds. It's not just physical sickness. It's sin sickness. It's stuff. It's messed up minds. I know you've been healed, but you're still heading that direction. You ain't bothered to turn and say thank you. You have not bothered to turn and say thank you, Jesus. And you know what? God takes note of that. Because evidently, the other nine, this guy, if he hadn't turned back to say thank you, he still was healed, wasn't he? Just like the other nine. So here we are, we're all sitting here looking good. You know, God didn't heal us, he didn't fix this, he didn't fix that. But have you stopped long enough to say thank you? Have you turned back somewhere down the path and said, thank you. Lord, thank you for fixing that little bump in the road with my wife. Thank you for fixing that bump in the road with my husband. Thank you for, Lord, when I lost that job, thank you for sustaining me miraculously with money that I didn't even know was around. Thank you. Have you just stopped to say thank you? See, because I want you to know that Jesus takes note. Jesus takes note of who comes back and who doesn't come back. Like I said, they were all healed. They're all healed. But he says, wait a minute. I see it because I'm thinking it. I can envision Jesus saying, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Didn't I heal 10? Wasn't there 10 of them? I want y'all to take a look around. Look at the empty seats here. Wasn't there more folks than this who've been healed by Jesus? Look at the empty seats. This place should be running over by folks saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for getting me up this morning. Thank you for getting my right mind. Thank you for carrying me through that time of sorrow. Thank you for taking me through that time of depression. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. When I could not see the light, you brought light into my life. Thank you, Jesus. Place should be running over. But only one. Only one turned back. Only one took the time to say thank you. You know, you we got to have thanks. We're supposed to have thanks with God. Not only are we supposed to have thanks with God, we're supposed to have thanks with one another. We're supposed to have thanks with brothers and sisters. We're supposed to have thanks with husband and wives. How many husbands, how many wives do you ever just stop and say thank you? You fixed my plate, thank you. You cooked me something to eat, thank you. You went to work, thank you. That's what we're called to do, y'all. It's such a minor thing for us to do it, but I'm telling you, just like here, you see how Jesus takes note? Jesus takes note. He noticed that only one out of the 10 came back to say thank you, even though they were all healed. He said, I healed them all. I did everything I did for this guy. And the only difference is that this guy came back to say thank you. I would to God that everybody in here would develop an attitude of gratitude. I just my heart's desire for the saints of God, because we take so much for granted. There's people over in Iraq right now as we speak, because they will not bow down and deny their Christian faith. They're being led to slaughter like lambs. And we won't even say thank you. There's something wrong with this picture. There's something radically wrong with this picture. We as saints, we have got to develop a thought process of acknowledging everything that Jesus does along the way. That starts off with getting you up in the morning, y'all. You know, we have to develop an attitude of gratitude. If we're ever going to find out that there's a blessing in thanksgiving, we just have to, at some point in time, get our minds settled in on praising God. Jesus says, first off, I told you they were all 10 lepers. But in verse 17, Jesus even quantifies them, qualifies them even more so. He said there was 10, and the only one that came back was a Samaritan. Y'all heard the story about the Good Samaritan? That was the guy who stopped and helped the man along the way and everything. That's in the book of Luke. Here's the story of the thankful Samaritan. See, Samaritans were the scourge of the earth. They were the low. First off, this boy had the misfortune of not only being a leper, he was a leper who was a Samaritan. And Jesus says, wait a minute. You mean those who are down here on the social economic scale, those who are the offscouring of the world, those folks who have next to nothing, those folks who will sit down and pray over a bowl of beans, and you won't pray in public over a steak? Those folks, those are the folks who come and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this pot of porridge, this pot of beans. Thank you, Lord. And then we get out in public. We get out in public, and we don't want to offend anybody. And we just can't take a moment to bow our heads in public and say, give thanks to the giver of every good and great gift. That's only because you don't understand there's a blessing in that thanksgiving. I told you, Jesus took note. He took note that only one of the 10 that he gave restored health to. The people had a death sentence on them, y'all. Don't you realize that if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, don't you realize you got a death sentence on you? Don't you know that if you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, don't you know that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ, if you have never said, I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for my sins, if you have never made that profession of faith, don't you know you have a death sentence on you? That's the bad news. But the good news is, all you got to do is be like the 10 lepers. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and say, Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And he's just and faithful. He will do it. If there's anybody here and you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, you have never made that public acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord, call on him and he will. I got it on good authority. I read it here. He will. He will save your soul. He will cure that sin sickness. There's folks in here who you are saved. You really have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, but you're struggling with different stuff going on. You got different sin issues in your life and you're struggling with it. It's like a leprosy. You're struggling with it. But I'm telling you, if you turn that over to him, it just like they turned their leprosy over to him, if you turn it over to the Lord, he will take care of it. Moving on. Jesus said, we had the Good Samaritan, now we got the thankful Samaritan. I like that. And Jesus said to him in verse 19, he said, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. I told you that there's a blessing in thanksgiving. And we talked about, we had 10 lepers who were here. And these 10 lepers, only one came back and said, thank you. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 32:35.
Second Chronicles 32:25. 2 Chronicles 32:25. I'm going to give you an example of somebody who God, just like so many of us, who God blessed beyond measure. But his thanksgiving was, let's say, lukewarm at the best. In 2 Chronicles 32:25, it says, I'm going to start with 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. King Hezekiah, God did for Hezekiah above and beyond measure. You've heard the story. You've heard me even talk about the story about Sennacherib. Sennacherib was a bad man. Sennacherib came in and he invaded Jerusalem. And I'm just going to take you to the backside of it, where Sennacherib came in and he even wrote what they call an open letter. And he had his men go down there in front of the Jews at the battle lines, and he blasphemed God. He said all kinds of things about God, and oh, he was horrible. And he told Hezekiah and his people, he said, "You know what? You think your God's going to save you?" He said, "But everybody I whipped and had a God." And so they went to the Lord. Hezekiah went to the Lord in prayer. The Lord delivered him. Oh, incredibly, the Lord delivered him from all his enemies. And then Hezekiah got sick. And he cried out to the Lord. And look what the Lord did for him when he got sick. The Lord healed him, gave him a sign, and healed him. But you see here in this verse right here where it says, but Hezekiah rendered not according to the benefit done unto him. Another way of saying that, Hezekiah was kind of thankful, because his heart was lifted up. See, he started attributing all these good things that were happening to him and for him to him. He started thinking about how great a military victory he had. He started thinking about, see, because he was on his deathbed and God healed him. And I don't know how you come. I could kind of wonder how you could walk away thinking that you did it yourself. But I've watched enough TV. I've watched enough self-help programs to know that you go read a book about, well, if you'll eat this many vegetables, you'll have this kind of child. If you don't eat this kind of vegetable, you'll have this kind of child. If you eat this protein, you'll have this. If you take these vitamins, you'll do this. And some people end up living. I mean, but you know what? There's a whole bunch of dead people with all kinds of vitamins in them. They didn't eat everything right that they were supposed to eat. They didn't smoke. They didn't drink. They ate everything they were supposed to eat, and they're dead. It's not you. It's the Lord. And you need to give him thanks. You need to give. Hezekiah didn't do that. Hezekiah got healed of his sickness, and he was sort of, kind of, thank you. Well, you know what happened? Because Hezekiah was sort of, kind of, thank you, when he finally did kind of humble himself a little bit, he kind of came back a little bit. And so God withheld his punishment during his lifetime. But guess what? When God healed him, he had a son named Manasseh. And Manasseh turned out to be the most evil, wicked king and the longest living king in the history of the nation of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Why? Because his daddy was sort of, kind of thankful. He didn't render to God that which was God. What does Jesus say to us in the New Testament? He said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Pay your taxes. He said, but everything else belongs to him. Every aspect of our life belongs to him. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render to God that which belongs to God. You go there and you can read that whole 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and 2 Kings chapter 20. Read that story about Hezekiah. Look at how good God blessed him. Look at what God did in his life. And then look back to that verse that we read where he said he sort of, kind of thanked him. Verse 19, he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. I want to give you very briefly here, I want to give you the difference between when you read in Scripture, especially the New Testament, where you'll read where it says whole, the difference between healed and whole. The difference between healed and whole. Look what he says in verse 15. Verse 15, he says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Don't forget, Jesus healed all 10 of them. But I'm telling you where the blessing comes in. The blessing comes in with the thanksgiving. Verse 19, he says, your faith has made you whole. There's a difference between being healed and whole. Jesus then got a whole lot of people up out their sickbed. A whole lot of lost people been saved. What's he say? He said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So when you see these folks on TV talking about how they ate that vegetable and they took that vitamin and that's why they're alive, don't believe them. They're alive because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. There's a difference between being healed and being whole. I want you to check this out on the book of John chapter 5. Turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 5. And there we see the account of the man who was invalid. He was laying outside the pool of Bethesda. And chapter 5, the book of John chapter 5, verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto this man, when Jesus saw him, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Here's the difference, y'all. It just helps you to do some study. What he's asking this man is, would you like to be made sound? Would you like to be physically healed? Because you go to verse 14, he says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. In this case, what he's saying, when he's saying the word whole, he's saying, you have been healed. The man was not saved, he was healed. But go back here to Luke, where we're at today, and you see where Jesus speaks to the leper who came back and said, thank you. He says over here in verse, where we at here, over in the first part, he says, verse 15, he says, you are healed, made sound, your sickness has been taken away. He says, but now, because you came back to say thank you, because you came back to give God glory, now you'll be made whole. Now you are saved. Now you belong to Jesus. Now you're a child of the King. It's that thanksgiving. It's that thanksgiving that made the difference in this leper's life. It's that thanksgiving that makes the difference in your life and my life. God has done for you. God has done for me. No two ways about it. But he says, are you going to be like Hezekiah? And sort of, kind of, thank me? Or are you going to give me all you got? And give me all the praise and all the glory that's due unto our Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, what you going to do? Here's how you decide. Here's how you decide. You decide. Do I want to be healed? Or do I want to be whole? Some of y'all satisfied with being healed. I'm not. Amen. I'm not satisfied with being healed. I want everything that God has in store for me. Amen. And the only way I can get that is I got to start thanking him for what I got. Amen. He says, thanking right where you're at. Some folks in this, even in this congregation, have been through trials, tribulations that we have no clue. We have no clue. Nobody knows. Nobody was there with you when you was crying with Jesus. Nobody was there, but you've acknowledged that he brought you through. And he says, if you'll just be faithful with that, if you'll acknowledge for what I did with you there, man, I got more for you. You say, Lord, how could there be any more? When that when that brother prayed for me, and I understood firsthand, I had read about it. I seen it in the book. Okay. But I firsthand, he took my hands, he prayed for me, and the Lord, that's been 20 plus years ago, y'all. I'm still working. That's just God. I don't want him to stop with my hands. I got a whole lot of me that needs fixed. If you got anything that needs to be fixed, let him start with that sin issue in your heart. Let him start with that. It said Hezekiah, here's what Hezekiah's problem was. It said Hezekiah was lifted up. Hezekiah refused to honor God. Not God didn't stop him. He stopped himself. You are your own worst enemy. But if we'll just start praising him, if we'll just say, thank you. Last thing. We talked about calling on the name of Jesus. We saw where it took one act of faith, just one turn. Just stop right where you're at. Stop. You're headed off a cliff. Stop. And turn around. Come back to God. Give him the glory. If you just stop with that one act of faith, obey him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Then you will be able to experience for yourself firsthand the difference between being healed and being made whole. I'm going to show you how Jesus, who our Savior, I look at him as the example of thanksgiving. The Bible says that our Savior, on the night he was betrayed, knowing with full consciousness of everything that was coming, he knew everything that was coming down the pipe, because him and the Father had come together in eternity past and figured out how we're going to work this thing out. And the Bible says that when on the night that he was betrayed, right after Judas betrayed him, it says he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. Do you know what was ahead for him? Do you know what kind of suffering he was going to have to go through? Do you know what penalty he was going to pay for your sin and my sin? And the Bible says, and he broke the bread and he gave thanks. Thanks for what? Thanks because the Father so loved the world that now it's the Son's turn to make the payment, the ultimate payment, for our sacrifice. He said, this is my blood. And it's shedding my blood for a new testament. You know what I give thanks for? I give thanks that there's a new testament. I give thanks that my Savior, through his death, through his thanksgiving, through his obedience, my Savior opened up a new and living way for me to go into hell, to go into heaven. I don't have to show up with a lamb at the door. I don't have to sprinkle blood every day. I don't have to go to the priest. I don't have to go to the temple. My Savior opened up a new and living way so that I might be able to come into him freely. The Bible says, you don't need the priest. You don't need the preacher. You don't need the Pope. He says, you come to him, and you come to him freely, and you come to him boldly. You can approach him boldly because our Savior, because Jesus said thanks, because Jesus gave thanks for everything, and because Jesus was willing to go that last mile. Because Jesus was willing to go that last mile. I'm able to be here and say thank you to him. He says, enter into my gates. Enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And he says, be thankful. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Try it, y'all. Try thanking him. Try praising him. There's a blessing in thanksgiving. God bless you.